So in the New York Times, Janet Maslin says Ron Rash's novel Serena, being made into the upcoming Jennifer Lawrence Bradley Cooper movie, is fierce, breathtaking, one of the greatest American novels in recent memory. Ooh, how do you top that? Well, if you're Ron Rash, you string together 14 jewels and a new collection of short stories, all set in his home state of North Carolina. They range from a Civil War-era love story between a Union soldier and a daughter of the Confederacy, and a modern-day tale of a high school couple torn apart by crystal meth. Then there's A Servant of History. An English student travels to Appalachia in 1922 in search of English ballads that migrated before him, with dreams of impressing girls, achieving a higher scholarly status. He asks a man with a wagon to take him to the locals.
"We're on McDonald land now," the older man said. "McDowell?" Wilson asked. "I reckon you can say it that way," Barafe answered. "The family's from Scotland, I presume," Wilson said, "but long ago." "They've been up here many a year," the old man said, "and it's a passel of them. The ones we're going to see, they got their great-granny yet alive. She's nigh a century old, but a mind sharp as a new-honed axe. She'll know your tunes and anything else you want, but they can be a touchy lot if they've taken a disliking to you."
Boy, can they. Ron Rash reading from his collection Nothing Gold Can Stay. The title comes from the Robert Frost poem, and like the poem, the stories address the fleeting nature of youth and beauty. And Ron Rash joins us from Clemson University. Mr. Rash, you have done it again.
Well, thank you.
And what are you doing here? Because we heard the student who goes to view the people deep in Appalachia. He calls them, you know, the Calibans, the creatures from Shakespeare. It sounds like you're flagging us, you know, be careful with my people, you know, don't treat this as an archaeological dig.
I think that's right, because what I am hoping to do there is get rid of, you know, some of the perceptions from outside, because I think very often people come to the Appalachians in the past as well as the present with certain preconceptions. And the irony of the story is, of course, the violence and the feuding that the British young man is looking for is actually back in his own country and has been exported into the mountains.
Right. We don't want to give away that ending, but boy, does he pay for that. Well, most of your endings have a terrific surprise, and we don't want to give them away. But it seems like most of the characters are just, I don't know, they're not going to fare well.
Sometimes you're right. I think very often I deal with characters who are in very dramatic situations and situations where they're in moments of extreme crisis. Very often their very lives are on the line, and that's when the essence of character in fiction as well as in life is shown, because people are stripped of the mask. They reveal themselves, who they are.
Yeah. Well, let's ask you about the stories. There's one, sounds like a Depression-era chain gang. A prisoner who's given a little more responsibilities meets a farm girl who's dressed in a sack. Some of the language, apple knockers.
Well, that was a term that was used during the Depression, a derogatory term used by people, urban people, about country people.
Was it because they picked apples?
Yeah, and just, you know, the idea that they were, that was about all they were doing out there.
Right. But leap to the modern day, as you do in some of the stories, we meet young people, and several of them are just spiraling into a life of drugs. There's two teens high on OCs, is that Oxycontin?
Mm-hmm.
OC
yes.
Pills? They're already in their late teens, but they're already reminiscing about their golden years, you know, when they were young. Another couple, heartbreaking, a young girl who you could see how much promise she's showing, and, you know, enter crystal methamphetamine. We know how bad this problem is, but what are you saying? What are you seeing and saying?
Well, I'm trying to be true to concerns that I have in the present, and I think there's a real epidemic, not just in Appalachia, but in many rural areas. But one thing I attempt to do in my work is to move from the past to the present, because I see time as a kind of geography as well. It allows me to go into really different countries, because there's such a different perception of reality. If you go back to, say, 1913 or 1865, it's like going to another continent. For instance, in the story, The Trusty, which is set during the Depression.
That's the chain gang. The chain gang story, yep.
Right. The young woman in the story has no conception of progress, the idea that things could be improved in the sense of economic conditions or whatever else. And to me, that allows me to go to a much different place, but at the same time find the universal, what remains true through time in those moments.
Yeah, a young girl today who might think the same thing and turn to crystal methamphetamine.
Right, exactly.
Then there's a story, Cherokee. A young couple, they go to a casino looking to make enough money to cover the payments on their truck. It's about to be repossessed. What are you saying about them?
To me, that was a story about maturity. I think particularly the young wife sees the boyishness in her husband, but at the end of the story, something changes about him that in a way surprises her, in a way is a good thing, but at the same time, it's a recognition that, just as the title implies, that nothing gold's going to stay, that there's a sense that that boyishness will never come back.
In a way, you know, so they've made some good decisions, but another way they're recognizing, you know, what seems to be true about a lot of these characters, we're just not the lucky people.
That's right, and I think those are the people that dominate this book, the people that have been dealt a bad hand of cards in life, and I think for the most part they're trying to do the best they can.
Also, I want to mention the story, 3 a.m. and the Stars Were Out. This is the one about the two men who fought together in the Korean War, and now decades later they're birthing a calf, as apparently they've done quite a few times. One's a farmer, one's a veterinarian. Both are widowers. Just a loveliness to it. And also a lot of detail about snapping on a glove and reaching inside a cow. It is quite something to... Let's just read. Carson lubed his hand, no glove now, and slid it inside, pushed the calf as far back as he could, making space. Sweat trickled down his forehead, his eyes closed now. To better imagine the calf's body, he found the snout, tugged it forward a bit, then back, then to one side, then another. His heart, the doctor's, banging his panting chest like a quickening hammer. He's getting a little old for this work.
He is, and yet, in that story, as I get older... not just as a writer, but as a human being, I'm more and more amazed at the wonder of the world. And I hope that story captured some of that, because I think, obviously, sometimes my stories are about people in really tough situations, but I think to deny the wonder of the world is a mistake as well.
Oh, no, it comes across. I mean, one of them says it. You know, they come out into this starry night, and they've just brought this life into the world, and, you know, they say you never get over the wonder of it all.
I think in most of my stories there's a sense that the people are sometimes very realistic about life and about expectations, but there are moments when hope glimmers, and that very often, even in the worst situations, they act decently.
Ron Rash, his new collection of short stories is Nothing Gold Can Stay. Ron Rash, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So, is there anything else? Oh, yes. Before we go, a quick thought on our recent news. Our new partnership with NPR to expand Here and Now to 2 hours at a co-host, the awesome Jeremy Hobson, who will be wrapping up at Marketplace Morning Report. We are humbled and honored, our excitement tempered only by news of other programming changes. You can read all about it at hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, we promise to continue to bring you the same muscular coverage of breaking news with all its messiness and unpredictability, as well as the conversations you have told us keep you stuck in your driveways, whether or not you have a car. Change is always interesting, but it occurs to us this change is happening in the perfect season, a time of renewal, new growth, or as I like to call it, do-overs. So here we go, and we hope you come with us. Without your support, we would not have gotten this far. Thank you. Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what the week and the coming months bring. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.